The Man David by Brother Harry Tennant. Chapter 5. The King Comes to His Own. David's poignant lament over Saul and Jonathan was committed to memory by the children of Judah, seemingly under the title The Song of the Bow. See 2 Samuel 1, verse 18. It was, moreover, included in a book of which we have but the slightest knowledge, Jasher, the Book of the Upright. Direct reference to this record is found only in Joshua 10 verse 15 and in the account in Samuel. Both extracts are poetic in form, and this suggests that the Book of Jasher may have consisted of an anthology of poems from inspired books set apart for committing to memory, perhaps to recall on particular occasions notable events or people. It's interesting to notice that David regards the disaster which had befallen Israel as the loss of Israel's beauty or glory. We may understand this to mean the slaughter of the royal heads and the cream of the nation's manhood, and in a sense this was true. But the meaning goes deeper than the removal of the best of Israel's menfolk. Only in heathen thinking are glory and beauty primarily associated with men. The Greeks, for example, sought for beauty through the form and mind of men. But for Israel, glory and beauty were bound up in their understanding of the holiness of the Lord God. The garments of the high priest were for glory and for beauty, a reflection of the God of Israel, whose name is holy. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary, Psalm 96 verse 6 says. Carry on the thought of might, weight, honour and beauty as essential components of true worship and of the relationship between God and his people. The priesthood and later the kingship were focal points of these ideas. Kings and priests were holding office for God, and their glory and beauty were not intrinsic, they were derived. A polluted priesthood or an unrighteous monarchy in Israel was an insult and desecration to God. In defence of his holiness, God brought judgment upon the house of Levi and upon the houses of the evil kings. Not until the anointed of the Lord is enthroned in Zion will the earth see the perfection of beauty. And then Christ shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. That is, between the kingship and the priesthood. Zechariah 6 verse 13. When therefore we read in the early chapters of Samuel concerning the loss of the ark to the Philistines, it is accompanied by the cry from the wife of one of the priests, Ichabod, the glory is departed. God has forsaken the ark and the priesthood, and the glory had left Israel. In the same vein, David cries concerning the loss of glory when the royal house was defiled by the uncircumcised Philistines. This was the low water mark. Beauty had ebbed away, and the nation lay stranded, awaiting the incoming tide, bearing the man after God's own heart, whose purpose would be to seek the glory of the Lord. His deep inner yearning has been preserved for us in one of the imperishable Psalms, the divine comfort for all who followed after. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. As David had yearned in the wilderness for the refreshing presence of his God, so now he is to seek to bring back the glory to priest and king by bringing the people back to the Lord. From Ziklag, David had sent presents to the elders of nearby towns and villages from the spoil he'd taken from the Amalekites. The gifts were some recompense for the losses they sustained at the hands of the raiders, and they were tokens of David's friendship. This he had done before he learnt the news of Saul's death. The towns of the south had befriended David in his extremity, and they were the first to receive of his bounty. The great moment had arrived, and suddenly the gates had been flung open, and the way was clear for his return to the land. How should he return? Was the kingship to be taken? Was he to wait? Should he return to Bethlehem and resume his shepherd's life? The situation was unique, and there was no precedent in Israel's history on which he could draw for experience and guidance. No doubt he had a little council of reliable men among his followers, men with whom he had from time to time discussed his movements and plans. They were not sufficient, nor were they the right material for decisions involving the destiny of God's people. Ask me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Isaiah 45, verse 11. These words, though recorded centuries later, were in the spirit of David's own thoughts. He went to the Lord through Abiathar and sought the guidance of the one who had sustained him in his tribulations. He would give counsel in a time of joy. Let us take note, God was in all David's thinking. Many men send out distress signals to God as they are driven by a wild sea toward a rocky shore, but few seek him as they come gently into harbour under a blue sky. The dangers of blue skies are often greater to the believer than the stresses of the storm. It is instinctive to cry for help when human powers fail, but easier still to let go of the Lord's hand when all is well. David has set down his thoughts on these things, a confession, and the divine response given under the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. David says, Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee the way in which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32, verses 7 to 8. Whither shall I go up, had been the prayer. Unto Hebron was the response. Hebron was within sight of Bethlehem. The wheel had turned full circle, and the outcast was coming freely and without fear to dwell openly amongst his people. The company moved slowly from Ziklag, cattle and belongings, wives and children, David and his faithful band. There was Abigail, and shaken in faith, waiting for the fulfilment of her own words. The Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Among the disciplined lines of soldiers were the mighty few, whose deeds are set down in the annals of Scripture. They were all mighty men of valour, and were captains in the host. Amasai the chief had declared, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Others had joined them since the day when they marched northwards with the Philistines, and southwards again, turned back by the suspicious lords. And together they made their joyful way into Judah, passing through the cities of friendly people, onwards to Hebron, whose name means fellowship, where the graves of the fathers of the race were to be found.